Well, good morning, everybody. This is Bob Ilson. We're set as usual with our Sunday morning show. And as you know, it's another big football day, and it's going to be big football day today and then tomorrow. Everybody's mixed up on the days, including me all week long because Christmas coming on Monday. But anyway, we all want to wish you a very, very happy new year and lots of good health and a lot of blessings in this year ahead. The games today, you can see on the tube, Houston will be at New England. And in the second game, Minnesota will be at Los Angeles. And I believe also, yes, there's a game at 4 o'clock that'll be on the tube, but it'll come on late, and that is the Stanford-Georgia game. So there's a lot of football on the tube today. And apropos with that, we have as a guest today a top figure in football and a very, very good friend of mine for many, many years, Bobby Douglas, the former quarterback of the Bears, and now one of the quarterbacks with the Green Bay Packers. So we have many things to talk about with Bobby today, and he'll be with us in just about 1 minute. I should have mentioned in talking about our guest, Bobby Douglas, quarterback in the National Football League, that he's also a prominent restaurateur. He is one of the owners of a corporation called Let Us Entertain You. That's L-E-T-T-U-C-E. Whoever dreamed up that name, Bobby?
I think Rich Melman, my original partner in the restaurants, came up with that one. But we have a lot of creative people in the organization, and we do a lot of creative things in our restaurants. I think if you've been into some of them, you realize that, with the exception of the Pump Room, which is stayed as it was, an established type of a restaurant. But the others are very unique, and we have a lot of original creative ideas in there with not only the food but the decor, and it makes it interesting. And of course, I think in the last 10 years, a lot of the restaurants have gone to that, but I think we were one of the pioneers in that, so to speak.
Well, when you mention the Pump Room, you mentioned something very close to my heart because I did, as you know, an interview show there for about 12 years. And as I look back, people have asked me, who were some of the prominent people? Well, the late President Kennedy, Charlie Chaplin, Olivia de Havilland, Joan Fontaine, Dr. Salk, Senator Taft, some of the great people. And they all used to stay at the Ambassador in those days. The only change that they've modernized it a little bit, haven't they?
Well, yes. In the last year, a corporation which takes over small hotels has taken over the Ambassador East, and they're just doing a very nice job. I think if you've been in the lobby lately, you've seen that they're doing an excellent job in the downstairs area, and they're redoing all the rooms. And in fact, we stayed over after the party last night. My wife and myself stayed over, and the rooms are very nice, and they're doing a nice job there now. It's going to be a fine hotel in the next couple of years, and if we can get some of those people coming back, we should get you back there and do the show.
Well, while you're interested in the restaurant business, I know one of the great interests in your life is football. And there are two big ones on today, Houston at New England, and then the second game, Minnesota at Los Angeles. Let's take a look at from an expert's point of view with those, with you.
Well, thank you for saying I'm an expert, but I would say that the New England-Houston game is probably the game that could be the upset. I think that the others... favorites will win the games, whereas I think that in this game, the Houston club, who's played very well lately, not only from an offensive standpoint, which everybody talks about because of the course of the play of Campbell and, of course, Pastorini having a great day last week, but I think the primary reason Houston will play well this week is because of the fact that their defense is really playing well. They've got a great defense. As you remember, 2 years ago when they had the same record they had this year, at least percentage-wise. They had very little offense, and it was their defense that has really gotten them where they're at today. Now, of course, with the addition of Campbell, who's probably as good a running back as there is in the National Football League, with the exception of Walter Payton, they have a little more offense. And, of course, Pastorini, with the experience and with some of the receivers they have, some of the young people, makes them a good offensive football team. But if you remember last week's game with Miami, it was really a low-scoring game. That's not a lot of points for what you would call high-powered offenses. So I still think that because of Houston's defense, as well as they're playing now, I think that they have a real shot at upsetting New England, who I feel like is a team that, if they get over the hump with Houston, is a team that definitely could upset a team like Dallas. I think they would play Dallas, who I think will go all the way in the NFC, better than anybody. I personally feel like New England's got more offensive potential than any of the other teams. They've got great depth as a running back, tremendous offensive line, and the problem they're going to have, I think, New England, is they've got some people defensively that are hurt, and I don't think they have as good a defensive football team up front. They have great defensive backs as some of the other teams in the playoffs.
Well, Bobby, you spent a year this year with the Green Bay Packers. Was it an interesting, exciting year?
I think it was probably as interesting a year as I've had in my 10 years playing, simply because I came back to the so to speak, black and blue division, and was able to play the Bears a couple times, and of course Detroit and Minnesota, and get back into the division that I started and played here for 7 years, of course, and it was exciting from that standpoint for me. I didn't get to play as much as I would have liked to have, but I hope in the next couple of years to help the Packers and be able to play quite a bit. And in fact, I really think and hope that I can play some other positions for the Packers, some things that the Bears always talked about doing, but they never really asked me, or we really never came to do it, but possibly I'll be playing some other positions other than quarterback in the future. I'd like to for the Packers, and I'll help them in the next couple of years. And they've got probably as good a young football team as there is in our division. And it was exciting this year, especially, of course, coming back into the division and after being, you know, a couple of years in New Orleans.
Were you surprised at the Bears showing this year?
I was not really that surprised. I said and I'm not saying this now to second guess. I just said early in the year that the Bears would have a tough time matching what they did the previous year, simply because physically the Bears still need some help in defensive positions. They need to be able to pressure people a little more than they can defensively. Offensively, they've got, I think, tremendous talent. I think their offense should have performed a little better than they did this year, to be honest with you. I'm not being a critic because not talking about individuals. Just as a team, offensively, they've got a lot of potential. But they are still a young offensive football team, and I think in the next 2 or 3 years, if they get the confidence maybe they had at the end of last year, that they'll end up being the offensive team they could be.
Now, you played the position. Why has there always been a controversy with the Bears about a quarterback? They had it with you. They've had it with Avellini, and Avellini's been here now, what, 4 seasons? And the fans do a lot of howling. And how do you view that situation?
Well, Bob, as you know, you're in the media, and I'm not in any way criticizing the media in Chicago, but the media are the people who have to bring it up. We've got a great media here because of the fact that you've got great competition at all levels, as you well know, TV, radio, and, of course, the newspaper situation. So what you have is you've got a situation where they're going to have to draw out certain people in every sport, whether it be the center in basketball or the quarterback in football. And so you're going to have more criticism of certain people. Fact is, the Bears, since Sid Luckman, haven't had probably one guy. And, of course, that was in an era when it was a lot different. There wasn't as much criticism because of the national TV exposure wasn't there then.
No.
So now you're talking about a situation with all the exposure that you get. It's the quarterback is the guy, and you've always got competition at the quarterback position. And let's face it, the Bears have not had good personnel the last 10, 15 years. They've been good enough to compete, but not good enough to get over the hump. Well, when you're losing, you get a lot more criticism. You realize that, and that's the way it is. So the guy that's going to get it's going to be the quarterback, no matter who it is. There's always going to be someone behind the quarterback pushing him. It's been that way for 20 years in Chicago. Even when they won the World Championship in 63, they actually had 3 quarterbacks that played and 2 that shared duties those 2 years. So even then, when they were winning a championship, they had a lot of publicity surrounding the quarterback position. I think you're always going to have it in Chicago. I think in any of the big cities, you're always going to have it, unless you, with the exception of some players that – for some reason come in and take the position and there's no backup there that's going to push him that much. And I don't know, unless you've got a dominating team like a Dallas or something, you're going to have it in most cities, and you do.
Bobby Douglas, there are people who have the opinion that one of the problems with the Bears is that Jim Finks wants to run the whole show.
Well, I think somebody has to run the whole show. I think that Jim Finks does want to run the whole show. He's the general manager, and he's going to be the one in the end that's going to be criticized for winning and losing, at least at this point. It used to be Halas. Really has changed because I think people realize that Halas has given the power to Jim Finks, and he's the guy that in the long run has to win. So he is going to control it. There's no doubt about it. There's not going to be anybody else that's going to control it. He's going to put the pressure on the head coach, and the head coach in turn is going to put the pressure on certain players or so on and so forth. But Jim Finks is a guy that's making the decision, and he's a guy that's going to have to either win or lose here. You can't have three or four people making all the decisions. It comes down to he's going to have two or three people up there that are helping him decide on certain talent and certain trades, because Jim Finks is in a position where he can't watch everything and can't see all the talent, especially in college and so on and so forth. As far as the draft, he gets a lot of help. But as far as the team itself that's here is concerned, as far as trades and as far as cuts are concerned, Jim Finks is a guy that makes the decisions.
Were you surprised at his choice of a coach?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. I felt like he would go after somebody in the mold of a Bud Grant type. There's no doubt that that's the type he likes, a guy that's subdued, so to speak, and a guy that's been in football for a long time, worked his way up. I think he feels like basic football and so on and so forth is a way to win, and he likes, I think, the Bud Grant mold, I guess, because he brought Bud Grant there, and he feels like possibly Armstrong's learned from him. And I wasn't surprised at it. I think there are probably several other people that had consideration for the job. So I wouldn't say I was surprised, and I think it's too early to tell now whether or not the head coach can do the job. I think he seems like a talented man. I've talked to him a couple times, and I think he knows what he's doing. They started off well this year, and then had some problems in the middle of the season. But let's face it, as I say, you've still got to have talent to win consistently, and I don't think there's really any team in the NFC that's going to win consistently right now.
Bobby Douglas, you hear a lot of talk in baseball when you're talking baseball and when you're talking football about the turf. What about the how do the football players react to the different types of turf? Let's say the natural grass and the synthetic.
Well, I would say 95% of them would rather play on natural grass. There are some players, probably there are 20-25% of the players who play better on the synthetic turf than they would on the grass. There are certain people who are more adapted to that type of a field, size, weight, things like that, quickness are the reasons for it. But 95%, maybe 98% of the players would rather play on the grass, simply because it's injury-wise, it's a lot easier to play on, and you don't have as many injuries. And of course, we're trying to get that changed, but as players, but it's going to be very hard to do, and it's going to take a long time. So it makes a difference. I think some teams definitely play better on the artificial turf than they do on the grass, and vice versa.
What do you have at Green Bay and Milwaukee?
Well, we have grass, and
both places.
Right. We practice though on. We do have a practice field that. That has the synthetic turf, so when we play that week, if we're going out of town and play on it, we can practice on it, and it makes a difference. But we play better on grass.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is the former quarterback of the Bears, Bobby Douglas, now one of the quarterbacks with the Green Bay Packers. Bart Starr's done a fine job of getting things rolling up there. We'll be back with our guest, Bobby Douglas, in just a moment.
Feel good.
Bobby Douglas, the former quarterback of the Bears and now with the Green Bay Packers, is our guest today. You know, I'm happy to say that Bart Starr and I have always been very, very close friends. I admired him as a player, and I'm sure the fans in Wisconsin must be happy with the progress that team has shown.
Well, I would think so. I think Bart said it himself. He said, in some places he might not have gotten as much time to build a winner as he did in Green Bay, which he has. And I think that probably Bart's done an exceptional job building the team, and I think in the next two or three years you'll see one of the better teams in the NFL. I think there's a chance if they have another draft, good draft the next year or two, that it could be a dominating team as it was when Bart Starr played there in the next few years. I really believe that they have that possibility up there. They've got some people in positions that you haven't heard about that are excellent football players, and a couple people coming off injuries who are excellent football players. So we've got a lot of talent up there, and I hope that, I'll get an opportunity to play with it in the next couple of years. Bart Starr has done an excellent job. He just, as you know, he's a gentleman and just an astute man who knows how to do things right.
Were you surprised at the progress that Detroit showed this year?
No, I wasn't. I thought that they would have a good football team. They've had good defensive people, I felt, the last two or three years. We played them in New Orleans a couple times, and they were just very aggressive. I thought a good defensive football team. Now, they got rid of some of those people, but their defense did come on at the end of the season, and offensively they've got some pretty good material. We felt like they did early in the year. I know in the Green Bay Packers felt like they did. Now, they had a rough go the first six, 7 weeks of the season. In fact, we beat them twice and beat them badly the second time, and they're just were a better football team. And for the most part, you realize that as football players, and they came on strong, and they're going to really be a good football team next year.
Bobby Douglas, the two big football stories today, one I regret to see, although I'm not surprised about it, was the firing of Woody Hayes. I said, and you were saying how you like him personally, it's rather sad. And then the award to Manning. Were you surprised at that?
Well, everybody picks an MVP. UPI, AP, and Sporting News, they all pick MVPs. And I was surprised at that although it's a small balloting situation. And there's a little – I was not surprised. Archie's a good friend of mine, and I think he had an excellent year. I would say, though, if you really look at MVP, you got to look at somebody who took a team to the playoffs and was instrumental in taking a team to playoffs. Now, Archie's done an excellent job, and I wasn't surprised because I think Archie has pretty good media support throughout the league, and finally coming up with a good year, a lot of those people felt like they had the opportunity to vote for him. You know, there's still a lot of politics in the game, and there is in the media, as you well know.
That's right. Well, the Woody Hayes story is kind of a sad story.
Well, it sure is. As I told you, I've always liked Woody Hayes because I like his type of coach. And, of course, he's an emotional type guy. And the fact is, you can't go to the extremes that he has and get away with it. I think it's right that they fired him. But as you say, it's a sad thing to see a guy like that who really is an intense individual who loves the sport and has done a heck of a job there for a long time. And it's too bad that he has to leave football like this. That's what's sad about him.
Who do you think will be the head coach at Ohio State? I've got a guess, and you take one. I say it'll be Lou Holtz.
Well, I don't know if Lou Holtz would leave Arkansas now, but Lou Holtz could be a possibility. I think, he's been there so long, I doubt if they've even thought about replacing him. I think they'll take some time, although they aren't going to have much time because of their recruiting situation. I think there'll be 15-20 of the top coaches in the country after the job, at least those that other than the other big jobs that are where people are already stable. And it'll be interesting to see because there are a lot of people who'd love to have that job from a recruiting standpoint and so on and so forth.
Bobby, being a quarterback yourself, who would you say, all things considered, all the things that they have to do, is the number one quarterback in pro football today?
Well, I think when he's healthy, Burt Jones is the best quarterback in football because of his physical ability. If you look strictly at physical ability and the people he has around him and so on and so forth. Physical ability is not as big a part of it, though, as sometimes as being with some of the right type of people you have to play with. Fran Tarkington, if he had to play on some of the teams in the NFL, wouldn't fare nearly as well as he, although he would do well anywhere, he wouldn't do nearly as well as he has to have those two guys out of the backfield and catch the football because the type of passes he throws, he needs that. And as a great example of, you got to be in the right place. But, of course, Fran Tarkington, if he goes somewhere, they're going to go get those kind of people for him. So physical ability is the only way I would ever look at it. That's why I say Burt Jones, who's got size, strength, he's still young, he can move, a great competitor. He's got a tremendous arm, and he's got, I think, as much physical ability as any of them.
You haven't mentioned Roger Staubach.
Well, Roger, to me, is not as good a passer as if you come right down to it. I don't know if he throws the ball as well as Bert. He's not as pure a thrower as Bert is. He's got a real good arm, and, of course, he moves around well. Good scrambler and does a lot of things as an athlete. He's a great athlete as Bert is, but I don't know if Roger throws the ball quite as well simply because I think he's in a system there where they give him a little more time, so on and so forth. I think if he was under pressure and had to throw strictly the drop back out of the pocket, he'd have a tougher time.
Bobby, I know you saw the game. How could a fine football man like Vermeil go into a playoff with a guy who couldn't kick? I mean, there are all kinds of fellows who used to play in the pro league who'd be available. Now here's a guy punts 22 yards, can't kick a point after, misses field goals. I mean, why would he go into a playoff game with a kicker like that?
Well, without knowing the circumstances of the last 3 or 4 weeks, which they had him there, or actually they had him the last 5 or 6 weeks, I guess, he either had to kick the ball well enough in practice that they felt like they could get by, or, you know, there might not have been anyone available. I'm not sure that there aren't as many kickers as you think around. Now, I can't believe they wouldn't have, as you say, I can't believe they wouldn't have brought 3 or 4 people in. And, of course, he looked like he is not that good a kicker. I don't like to criticize other players, but obviously he didn't fare very well in the game. So either they didn't look at anyone else or it was just a judgment and error, an error in his judgment as far as what he thought his ability was. Now, I would have to say that he probably kicked well in practice because he only tried one other field goal, and they weren't going to judge him on one field goal in a game, so he had to kick the ball well in practice, and they figured he's going to do the job. And, you know, things happen in playoff games.
Well, that kid with Texas has got to be in one of the first 1, 2, 3 picks in the pro game. Here's a guy that kicks off. Every kickoff is over the goalposts. Every punt is 50 or 60 yards. Field goals, 50 and 60 yards. A guy like that is invaluable to a team.
Well, yeah, if you've got the strong leg, they would go with him. He's a big kid now. Talking about Exlavin?
Yeah.
I think he'll go in the first round. I think there's a possibility he might not go until the second round, but chances are he'll go in the first round. Now, I don't know his accuracy that well. In pro football, now, accuracy is a lot more important now than distance because of the fact that if you're kicking a 50-yard field goal, you're kicking from the 40-yard line. And if you're going to kick 50-yard field goals all day, you're giving the ball up to the other team on the 40-yard line. That's great field position. And you better be hitting about 4 out of 5 from the 50 if you're going to be kicking from there. So his accuracy is the thing that they're going to look at more than his distance as far as field goals.
Bobby, they claim about Allen, George Allen spends a lot of money. Do you think he'll be back next year as a coach?
I think it's 50-50 right now. There aren't nearly as many jobs right now. And, of course, George Allen, you know, because of his situation, we were talking a little bit about Hank Stram. They're very similar. They like to control the whole situation. And let's face it, there's 28 teams, and there may be 6 or 7 of them. And so the chances of him getting a job because of the fact that he wants to control it all are not nearly as good now as they were 2 or 3 years ago.
Our guest today, an old friend and former quarterback of the Bears, now with the Green Bay Packers, is Bobby Douglas. And we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Avellini is a controversial figure. That seems to fit the job here. When you played the Bears, and I know you were in on all the sessions, what did you try to do with Peyton and Harper?
Well, I was only, of course, playing with them for a short time. I didn't get to play with them as long as...
No, with Green Bay, how did you try to defense?
Try to defense them. Well, you try to defense basically their running game. You play almost an 8-man front. Try to keep Peyton inside. Don't let him get outside. And that's basically what the only real adjustment that you make in your defense against Peyton is we tried to keep him inside. You don't want to let him get outside. He's got enough speed, and, of course, he's got enough power that he's going to break more tackles outside. And inside, you've just got more big people in there. So we played a little wider and tried to keep him inside, and he didn't hurt us. We played Walter never had had about 80 yards the first game we played, and less than that, I think, the second game. Our defense, of course, has played well against the Bears, I guess, the last 2 or 3 years, with the exception of Peyton did have a 200-and-some-yard game against the Packers last year. So I think they changed a few things, but without getting into detail, which people wouldn't understand, basically, of course, you don't want to let Walter get wide.
A little water can really scamper. What about Campbell? How do you rate him?
Well, I rate Campbell as, along with Peyton right now, as one of the top two or three running backs in football. He's young, and he's got such great strength and leverage compared to some of the other people with the speed, and, you know, because he's got phenomenal speed. And he's a very aggressive player. He's the type of guy that stepped in his first year and had an unbelievable year. If you remember, Walter's first year wasn't quite as spectacular, didn't have 1,000 yards or anything. So I give a guy a lot of credit if he can come in and do that. And he's done it, Campbell.
I want to thank you so much for being our guest today, and lots of good luck to you and the Packers and also your great organization. Let us entertain you. Nice of you to take your time to be with us today, and it's a pleasure seeing you as always.
Well, Bob, it's always a pleasure to talk to one of the most knowledgeable sports people in the city that's been here. You've done a phenomenal job for a long time, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I mean that.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you very, very much. Well, that's it for today, and the new year is about here, and we all at Northwest Federal want to wish you lots of happiness, lots of good health in the year ahead. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Sunday when Roland Harper of the Bears will be our guest.